This episode was uploaded Saturday, November 12, 2022, and you're listening to episode 12 of the 5x5 Room RPG Podcast.
A rogue, a fighter, and a wizard walk into a tavern. But what keeps them together? A common issue in many tabletop RPGs is how do we get the party together? And beyond that, how do we keep them together? In this episode of the 5x5 Room, Hollis and I discuss ways to get your group together, in-game at least.
The running time for this episode is 26 minutes.
Welcome to the 5x5 Room. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Hollis.
And today we're going to talk about getting the party together. So you've got a whole crew of adventurers. They've got their character sheets ready, they've got their dice that they brought, but how in the world did they get to meet each other? Well, let's start with Hollis's favorite.
I'm not wasting any more time than I have to, Jeremy. As far as I'm concerned, they've known each other for years, they're best of friends, and they're all choosing to go on this adventure together, regardless of their own personal narratives.
We're going to call this method already acquainted. You can also think of this as sort of an off-camera introduction that the players themselves are not familiar with, though the characters we're pretending are. I would be hesitant to use this approach very often. I think this works well for like a con game or a one-shot situations where the backstory isn't really that relevant to what's going on. We're not going to be here for very long. Let's just, you know each other, let's get this over with. It's not a terrible idea. That being said, there's certainly been times where we've run games and we've said, yeah, you guys just know each other, and it did not pan out well. The players never really connected, they never felt connected, so I don't know that I think it's really the best course of action.
It's definitely a method that I would use to get things moving quickly. It's also really good for a brand new group of people that haven't really played the game much before or getting acquainted with it. They may not have a lot of the same background built up in terms of how their character's designed. They might be new to a game like Dungeons & Dragons, and you want to make it a quick and easy way for everyone to kind of begin the adventure without jumping through a lot of hurdles to get them all in the same place. I feel like this option is probably the best for that, and I agree with you. You kind of take the elements out of the creation of a background away from the game when you begin this kind of style. Often players seem to like it when the background they've written for you is very well embedded into the game world.
So if I think that this is maybe one of the weakest ways that you could link your party together or get your party together, I think one step up, maybe the next weakest way to get them together, I will call the tavern. This is a very famous, like, old D&D cliche that you're all together in some tavern and you get recruited by a local mayor or whatever, and now you are sent off on a quest.
Admittedly, I have used this, but not for the whole party. Often I find it's easier to get a handful of the players, maybe one or two, at the table just for the express purpose of kind of being the people that push the story along. They tend to be the players that have the most experience in the game, and so they're usually more all right with allowing themselves to lead the rest of the table towards a particular direction. On the way, we start dealing with characters wrapped up in things above their heads, and the collective table slowly but surely begins to add their own little element to the things that are taking place, and therefore the party ends up traveling together. It's a bit uninspired and really kind of overdone, if you ask me.
I think also this is a great way to lead your players into being murder hobos. It doesn't matter where they were before, it just matters that someone has shown up and is willing to give them money to go probably kill something, considering that's usually what D&D comes down to.
I mean, adventurers gotta eat, Jeremy.
That they do. Okay, maybe it's not a good idea if your characters just, like, know each other and popped into existence and the players don't really know how to connect that divide. The tavern isn't too great either, it's a little cliche and it's uninspired at best. So, what's a good idea? What is the best idea for getting your party together? I'll answer it for you. The best way is that you should make your characters together, and you should have a conversation when you're building your characters and say, hey, let's take this opportunity to start forming connections with our characters. Let's say, hey, we're cousins. or hey, so-and-so hired me as a bodyguard, and that's why I'm here.
That provides a very distinct advantage when you look at the way the game is going to play out at the table. Each of the players can, within their backstories, write these sorts of connections with other players at the table. So all of a sudden, it's not just completely random. They might have connections between players at the table that allow them to kind of share goals or share interests that make it a very convenient reason that they're together. Also, because I know that I normally look more on the mechanical side, I think this is excellent as an option for things you discuss during your session zero.
I'm so glad you brought it up. If only we had an episode about session zero.
Huh. Coming soon.
But session zero is a great time to do this. Bring everyone together. Even before you're really putting characters to paper, it's a good opportunity to start to think, okay, what kind of character do I want to play? And what relationships do they have with the world? One of the things I remember, Hollis had a game that he had ran for us a few years back, and he came into it telling us, okay, here is how the campaign is going to start. There is going to be an art theft of some kind. And all of us at the table got to know that, okay, this is going to be the central conflict driving the very beginning of this campaign. So we all created characters that would have some motivation to follow through with this art theft. One of the players was a custodian of the art gallery that had fallen in love with one of the pieces. One of the characters was from like a rival merchant family that wanted to buy one of the pieces that went up missing. And my character was a fey character that used one of the pieces as a portal from the Feywild and could no longer get back home since the piece was missing. So all of us had great motivation to want to follow through on this crime.
You also have to consider, this is how players keep each other interested in moving forward in the campaign itself. When you have these smaller connections, one player knows one or two of the other players, but maybe player four doesn't know player one at all. By this level of interest and the fact that everyone keeps each other moving forward, it's really great to help push everyone forward in this supportive way. I doubt very seriously the custodian normally would have worked so well with a noble that was a rival house trying to buy the same painting. However, circumstances, be what they may, allows for everyone to craft characters that work really well in that way together.
This is definitely a great way to keep everyone invested, and there's some easy shorthand ways that you can follow through with this. You can do something as simple as saying, hey, we're all sitting at a table that's conceivably at least somewhat round, or we're sitting around it in a round fashion. We can say, okay, pick the person on your left and the person on your right, make a connection with those two people. And you don't have to be that rigid about it, but it's a good way, especially if you have like a newer group, and you can sort of establish these connections. When your character says, oh, I'm a bounty hunter, okay, and you're going to play a noble, what kind of relationship could our characters have? What's something that could tie us together? And you can come up with these ideas.
It's funny. It's almost as if collaborative world building works really well.
Maybe that'll be an episode too.
Also soon.
So, obviously, linking backstories before the game, in my opinion, is the best. This is what you can do. However, the problem is maybe we don't always have the time for things like this. Maybe we need some other approaches. Something that's sort of in between, hey, you guys know each other, hey, you guys met in a bar, and okay, we're going to spend a whole 4-hour session just talking about how our characters know each other. So do you have any other ideas of ways that our characters get to know each other, Hollis?
I think you can take that concept, maybe make it a bit smaller. For example, maybe you have one or two characters that are going in. Maybe they're a couple or just very close friends. They want to play the game alongside other people they may not know as well. You can kind of bridge this gap a bit by making a much smaller version of this. Maybe players 1 and 2 know each other and they form that connection. And then players 3 and 4, not knowing 1 or 2, form a connection. And then things are happening to each of them that slowly bring them towards an eventual merger of companionship.
I think this is a good idea, and it's something that you can see in a lot of video games, is this idea that there's something happening to the players that intrinsically forces them to have to stick together. I'll give you a very generic sort of idea for this, is you can have the player characters literally be trapped. I've had a game that I started once that we didn't have a session zero or anyone getting to know each other, so I literally had the characters wake up in like a cave, they had all been kidnapped in some way, and they don't even know how they got there. So how they know each other is that they all woke up in the same place and they're trying to get out. At this point, once this conflict becomes circumvented, it's going to be difficult to keep them together. But at least for the time being, it works as a way to force them together.
You also see this tool used a lot in other media. If you look at a lot of TV shows and movies, you'll note that there are examples of characters that all together end up in a really bad situation. Pretty much pick any escape room type concept. Often what you'll find is that they may include a large swath of characters, but there's going to be a few that stand out above the rest that are actually able to take action and make things happen. The players could be those such people, where in the group of 50, they happen to be the four or five that collectively work together using the tools around them to get out. This is how their own bond is formed.
I think this comes down to a shared conflict or enemy or experience of some kind. And this can even come down to a marking on them or a special ability gifted to them. Maybe not well known for its story, but in Final Fantasy XIII, all of the characters are marked as Falci, at which point they all have some emblem on them that cannot be removed that effectively outs them as a specific type of person, and now there are groups out to get them for this reason. It forces them to have to collaborate together if they want to overcome this condition that they are currently dealing with. But it could also just as easily be an enemy. Like how I mentioned the Hollis gave us, hey, this is going to start with an art theft. It could also start with, we are in a post-apocalyptic world, and it was all done by an evil wizard of some kind, and all of you guys have a vendetta with the wizard, tell me what it is. And then your players can say, okay, well, here's why I don't like them, and here's why I don't like them, and here's why we've all gathered together in order to put a stop to this evil wizard. So let's discuss some other ideas. Similar to a shared experience, another thing you can go with is having all of the players be a part of a similar organization. This could be starting a game where you say, okay, well, you guys are all going to be town guards at the start of it. Or maybe even if a Shadowrun game, you're all part of a Shadowrunning crew. You all run together. You do these jobs together. You don't have to necessarily personally know each other going into it because it's more of a business relationship. But it can, of course, blossom to different things.
Or maybe you're a group of high school students, all belonging to a special class that the school has never since ever assembled. And it just so happens to be the case that even though you don't all get along, you all have your own strengths as well as weaknesses, and the purpose of the entire group existing is to actually help make sure everyone is successful. I think I've sort of roped us back into the first point that we discussed that we didn't like very much, but I think there's a key difference here. In each of the examples that we've provided and what we've discussed so far, what we're pointing out is that it seems to be the case that the more often the players have more agency and control into how those connections are formed, it tends to overall make a better experience at the table. And I think it's important to look at that regardless of which of these options that you choose.
This is why session zeros are important and having this communication with your players so they know what they're getting into. And they can help you as a GM along with this ride of trying to get everyone in the party together. You can tell them, hey, this is the threat that we're coming into. These are the problems that the world is facing. And the players are honestly going to be a lot more receptive to connecting their backstories to it. Now, occasionally you might have people that just say, well, I just want to play this character, this kind of character. And sometimes you'll have to find a way to get them in. So I want to talk about some other possible ideas that we could use to help get the party together. Something that I am a big fan of is vignettes. I like having little stories that the players can read. I will note this is a bit of a heavy roleplay activity. It's not going to work on all groups. But I've done it before where I've had the players assume the roles of other characters in another character's, let's say, flashback. In this way, the other players at the table at least get to kind of know this character outside of just suddenly showing up and joining the party.
It also gives you a really cool chance to show off your DMing chops. Players tend to like sessions that are very central to them, especially if they've gone through the effort of writing a backstory and really putting hefty amounts of detail in it. So being able to have the rest of the party sit and sort of watch the writings and the creation of someone else be explored narratively, it makes them feel really good about their turn within that rotation and also about putting real effort into crafting a character.
I've even had whole games where I had players that particularly enjoyed creating characters, and so I was able to sort of do a jump back and make a whole separate party where I took one of the main player characters, and then the other players would make NPCs of sorts that were traveling with them and could go through one of these little side stories and kind of see where they were at, and eventually all lead back to the place where we all started. Once again, this is a pretty big time investment, and it's pretty big roleplay investment. It's not going to work all the time, but it's at least a decent idea for getting the characters to know each other.
So, Jeremy, I've got one, and I feel like it's even more of a slog than the one you just described.
Please.
You could always, slowly but surely, get them all there individually into the same place. This is a method I will be honest in saying I rarely, if ever, use, if for no other reason but because of the massive amount of time that this takes for me as a DM. You can essentially meet individually with players and begin a narrative story with them that navigates through some trials and tribulations that will eventually get them into the role where they will be with the other party members. This is a more hand-holded method of getting the party to already know each other, but with a lot of other character building and retooling with you and with your help so that everyone's on the same page.
I've done similar things, or one that I can think of in particular. I had a game where I started it where all of the players sort of told me about their character and where they were from, and then I wrote them like about a page long of, here's a situation that you were in, and the end of it was all of the players coming together. And so this was still, once again, a pretty big time sink for me, because I had to write effectively 6 different page-long anecdotes that all had to converge into the same place while still feeling a little original on their own. But it was kind of nice in some ways, because I was able to effectively leave hints to what was going on in the plot in each of their stories, so they all had their own effectively hidden information that they could share with the party, and it sort of got to help them get to know each other.
And it's true that having mysteries about your character is something that often pulls other players into the campaign itself. Jeremy, you're acting very dark and brooding. I wonder why that is. And the dramatic irony there is also entertaining. You as a player may be fully aware that your wizard that you've been traveling with for the past 6 months has a very troubled past. But if that character has not shared it with your character, you truly, within the game, don't know this information.
There's certainly a bigger conversation we can end up having here of character information and player information and the sort of out-of-character concepts. But I think that, in general, players like it when they know something that the other players don't, especially when they can finally tell that thing to them without saying, hey, GM, what is it that I know? And the GM says, oh, you know this. And then everyone hears it, and then the player repeats it. That's not very fun. But when everyone already kind of has this information, I think it's very interesting. It helps kind of create those bonds at the table.
Small anecdote about my own experience about this. I have had scenarios where everyone at the table had the same information in terms of players. But the first time a player character was able to actually say to the rest of the party what was going on, it was as if the rest of the party was doing everything they could to really make sure they nailed the reaction of their character finding this information out for the first time. And I will say there's nothing that makes me happier than to watch the party and the characters they're playing actually commit to that surprise, to really be invested in the characters and what's going on so much that they would go, wait, that can't be true.
You hear the audible gasp.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Halls, can you think of any trouble that you've run into as a GM or as a player when you're getting the party together?
I feel like when you ask me that question, every player I ever had is all of a sudden just on pins and needles, thinking that they're the problem. But the biggest issue that I've encountered when it comes to getting the party together is actually mostly due to a certain type of behavior. And I think this one's called the lone wolf syndrome. For those of you that may be unfamiliar with this, this is the concept where a player wants to play a character that never wants to be with the group. They always want to do everything alone. Everything that happens, good or bad, is entirely because of them. The entire story will move or come to a screeching halt because of their choices and interactions.
And it's not crazy that a player wants to play this type of character, because it's very often seen in media as the sort of bad boy with a heart of gold, or the, as it's just called, the lone wolf. The guy that doesn't quite fit in, but he still keeps getting dragged into things regardless. It comes up pretty often. And so a lot of players say, hey, I want to be a character like that. I'm the lone gunman. I just rolled into town, and I guess I'll help you guys out. But it's not very easy for the GM to keep having to find reasons to drag this player along.
on the player perspective, I want my players at the table to be able to play the character that they're the most interested in. Ones they really, really feel connected to, or just in general think they'll enjoy. On the DM side, it's important to remember that the purpose of the game that you're playing is for everyone to play something together, to collaborate, to create something that is fun and beautiful and filled with horror and laughter and anxiety in some cases. If you have a character that never wants to interact with the party, wants to do things on their own the entire time, number one, you're going to be losing some of the thing that makes a tabletop game a truly amazing experience. Number two, you're going to make it very difficult for the other players to keep you involved. In my experience, players tend to try only a handful of times to take the lone wolf character and to ask them to interact. Eventually, they'll just stop asking and assume you don't want to play with the rest of them. Speaking of playing well with others, Jeremy, do you have any examples similar to that where you can remember issues you've had getting the party together?
This is only tangentially related, but I want to talk about party schisms. This is sort of after you've already gotten the party together, but you reach a point in the story where, for maybe backstory reasons, the characters just say, hey, we've got different things to do and we're splitting off. This is a little different because sometimes when things like this happen, you can narrate your way around it, you can do a time skip, or you can maybe just have the players come up with some mental gymnastics of why they stick around anyway. But sometimes it's just narratively best if they just split ways. We've had campaigns before where there were conflicts in different places and our different characters wanted to handle different things and they just said, okay, nice to meet ya, we're gonna head on our way. And we ended up making new characters and following both sides to their completion eventually.
I think that's something that's very incredible about a tabletop RPG that's very difficult to emulate in any other kind of game. When you have players that want to try new things, as an example, I feel like that's the perfect scenario where it might be great to have a scenario where the party splits. Jeremy, if you were tired of playing a warlord, which, I mean, let's be honest, you would,
I would never.
Of course.
I would never.
But if you did, it might be fine to say, hey, you know what? For the next few sessions, I'd like to try something new. My warlord is going to be going to Kingdom XYZ. When the rest of the party goes to Kingdom 1-2-3, I'd like to play a different character for a little while, just to try something fun. That doesn't mean the character's gone forever. In fact, it may very well be that the branching paths eventually merge once again. But I think that splitting up offers some unique opportunities for players.
This might even be a good solution to your lone wolf problem. Maybe talk to the player, sit them down, and say, hey, look, you're not really meshing with the party, and it doesn't seem like your character even wants to be here. Do you want them to take an exit and maybe introduce a character that does want to be here? Or maybe you could come up with a reason that you want to stick around if you want to keep playing that character.
I'm going to go two levels high in this one. Take the lone wolf character, allow them to split, and have the party come to their aid when they think they themselves would be able to take care of it, but they can't. Rescues tend to do a strange thing when it comes to friendships and allegiances.
It's true. Be a good opportunity to bring them in. I feel like we've kind of talked over this a good amount. When it comes down to it, the idea that I personally like best and I would say is the best way forward is have a session zero. Talk about the intended conflicts that are going to be in your game, especially if you have like a really important starting conflict or a villain that is going to be an obvious villain early on. This is a great opportunity for the player characters to begin linking themselves to your campaign and also to each other. And you can avoid this having to get the party together anyway.
In every example we've given, the very link that Jeremy describes is really at the center point of what makes a lot of the actual sessions you're going to run with your party outstanding. It's the reason why you all get together every week or every 2 weeks or what have you to have some drinks, eat some really bad snacks or delicious snacks, depending on who you ask, and roll some dice together. If your stories are kind of connected with the person sitting to your left, to your right, and across from you, it makes it really easy to fall into playing the game and collaborating and creating something together. When you decide to separate yourselves or put a lot of obstacles that prevent that from happening, you're really only hurting yourself and the very people that you want to be playing with.
And I would say for any of the players or game masters that have always fallen back on the tavern excuse or the already acquainted excuse, maybe the next time you start a game, try linking these backstories together. You'll find that there's a much richer experience that you get out of the game. But on that note, I think we're going to call it here. So if you guys have any other topics that you'd like us to talk about, please let us know. We're always looking for new ideas. But thank you for listening.
Have a great night.